Hello, my name is Josh.
I'm Jamie.
And welcome to A Conversation with Two Geeks, a podcast where we're talking about movies, comics, and everything in between. Today we're going to be talking about everything from a live-action Marlon Reynolds movie being potentially in the works to our spoiler thoughts on the last four episodes of Ted Lasso Season 3 and so much more.
Also, feel free to follow us on all our social media platforms. We're on Twitter and TikTok at Convo with Two Geeks. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at Conversation with Two Geeks. And if you want to send us an email with anything from this episode or one of our previous episodes, we're at conversationwith2geeks@gmail.com.
You can also find our back catalog on Spotify, in podcast, Google Podcasts, or podcasts to listen to. Also, we have a Patreon.
Make sure to check that out.
So we'll explain more details later. Yeah. But yeah. Anyways, how are you today?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm good. I actually thought that we were going to actually have to miss the show because the Wi-Fi at my place was being, and considering how much I have to pay for it, I'm not going to name the provider and stuff, but let's just say I shouldn't be paying for how much I pay, considering the stuff. So yeah, there was that. But other than that though, I'm good. I went to go see a certain movie I'll talk about it in a second towards our recommendations bit, but like, I went to go see Across the Spider-Verse, and nice. I'll talk about it more later, but you know, but I'm really happy about that. I'm also seeing another huge movie actually on Sunday, and I got to meet some really cool people. Really cool people there. So yeah,
nice.
I'm dandy. So yeah,
cool.
So, yeah. Anyways, let's get to our first topic of the day. And speaking of Spider-Verse, well, at the premiere for the upcoming sequel of 2018's Into the Spider-Verse, Spider-Man Across Spider-Verse, producer Amy Pascal revealed that a live-action Miles Morales movie is in the works, saying that you'll see it. All of it is it's all happening, said Pascal. She was also referring to the fact that apparently a Spider-Woman movie is in the works, as well as Spider-Man 4 is in early development. They're ready. They have writers and stuff, but unfortunately, because of the writer strike, they can't really move forward on it. So, And this is interesting because, is this going to be set in the Sony universe or is this going to be set in the MCU?
That's the question. That's my question about it, but I guess we'll just have to see. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'd be cool either way, to be honest. Like, if they wanted to do their own thing with Miles, I think that'd be cool. But I think it also would be cool, like, what if Tom Holland is feeling like he's almost done, to bring in Miles to kind of pick up that mantle later on, I guess.
Yeah, so, no,
I'm cool either way. I don't know. It's just depending on what they want to do.
I'm cool either way, but I personally would just prefer it if they just introduce him in the MCUs. That way they already have a backup in case Tom is like, because he's like having a break right now and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like he's taking a break, he's doing some other stuff, and obviously he's gonna come back. But in case he does want to like leave and stuff, it's just like be like, all right, we have a backup. We already have this guy. As opposed, I guess you can put him in a separate universe. But then again, also I don't trust Avi ever. I have very mixed feelings on just the Sonyverse in general, and I don't trust them with them really. The only thing I really trust, well, I don't really trust them. I more or less trust Warren Miller with the animated Spider-Verse, but that's a whole other thing. So,
I mean, I see the theory around where I could, like, with this new Across the Spider-Verse being a multiverse story. And then the next one is, I forgot what the next one is called, but
Beyond the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, so like it could tie into this potentially. It could still be the same Miles, but I don't know. It's just, this is going to depend on what Sony wants to do, because I think they have first shot at what they want to do, because they have the overall rights to the character.
Yeah.
Which is just, yeah. Which sucks, but like that's just you kind of have to deal with it,
Yeah,
so. Because if it
I'm.
was just Disney, there'd be no question that it was going to be MCU. Like he'd be into the MCU. But because Sony is involved, there's that up in the air question of what they want to do.
See, okay, here's the thing. I'm really restraining myself on certain
I
things.
know, I know. I debate about saying it, but I felt like I wanted. I kept saying it, and it kept popping in my head. So don't say anything because the movie isn't even officially out until later tonight.
Yeah, I'm trying real hard, y'all.
But I could. It's just gonna depend. It's just gonna depend. I'd just say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. But yeah, also don't also just Spider-Verse in general. Don't th just don't stay off the internet. I don't
Yeah.
trust folk anymore, so this is just for everyone. I know this episode's gonna probably come a bit later during the weekend, but like if you haven't seen the movie, don't go on the internet. So yeah. Anyways, moving on to our next topic. Via the S Science Fiction Gazette. So according to a listing from the WGA Writers of America West website, the writers and episode count for the upcoming Disney Plus Star Wars series Skeleton Crew has been revealed. According to the listing, the show is set to have 8 episodes with Spider-Man Homecoming, Far From Home, and No Way Home director John Watts, who will also be directing as well. I think some episodes as well. I know him, the Daniels, and David Lowery are directing some episodes. I don't know who's directing which episodes. Christopher Ford and my young, apologies on the mispronunciation, Joy Windsor handling writing duties. For which episodes, Watts Ford will be writing episodes 1 through 4 and 7 through 8, while Windsor will be directing episodes 5 and 6. So this is interesting.
Yeah, it sounds interesting splitting it up like that.
Yeah, especially given the split and stuff. Because it's like, and with now I'm guessing like the two Wednesday episodes are going to be either done by either the Daniels or Lowry, but David Lowry, but I'm not 100% sure. I guess we'll have a finalist soon, but like, yeah, no, this is interesting. I'm very curious to see how Ford and Watts write this, because like, my only really experience with them writing, like they wrote Homecoming. I think they got script duty. I think screenplay treat credit on Homecoming. But as to the other two, those were written by Chris McKenna and Eric Summers, a community fame. So this is gonna be really interesting. And I normally and I'm a little hesitant, but like I'm just it's gonna be very interesting because I can see this working. I'm also just of like, well, all right. And again, I'm on strike mode, so like I might be a bit more critical about how screenwriting credit is given, but I'm just also kind of like, did it really have to be just three writers?
Yeah, it is very interesting. It's just interesting that it got split up like that to me, but yeah, it's curious.
Really would have liked the writer's room, but that's just me. But then again, also this project was literally they just did this project during No Way Home, so like I imagine it was probably very internal and stuff.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. Anyways, moving on to our next topic. So this trailer kind of came out like they kind of came out towards the tail end of last week. Tail end of last week. Also, we didn't have a show last week, mainly because. So I guess, which by the way, on that note, we apologize for not having a show last week. We were supposed to, but our guests had to back out last minute due to the emergency and stuff, and we're renegotiating, rescheduling. That so there's that, but yeah, no, but either way, with our next topic, I'm really excited for this movie, and that's the main trailer to Barbie. This awesome series to live in Barbie Land is to be a perfect being in a perfect place, unless you have full-on existential crisis. Co-written and directed by Greta Gerwig, the film stars Margot Robbie, Ryan Gosling, Simu Liu, Will Ferrell, Michael Cera, Emerald Fennell, Dua Lipa, Issa Rae, Carlos Swindells, Emma Mackey, and Alexandria Shipp, Kate McKinnon, Anna Cruz Kanye, Nicola Colleen, Ari Neff, Shuti Gatwa, Kingsley Benadir, John Cena, American Vere, Ariana Greenblatt, and Rhea Perlman, among others. The film is set for release on July 20th. Okay, so we now know what the hell this movie is.
Yeah, which is it kind of hinted at it at the other trailers, but we definitely got more insight into this one, and it makes sense. So,
But yeah, no, I still expect this one to be very critical and be very meta. I mean, we literally find out that like Will Ferrell is like the CEO of fucking Mattel.
Yeah.
And I'm also like every time he hits like the drumsticks, I'm just thinking of Step Brothers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Even though that was Jackson Bradley's character. But yeah, no. But yeah, no, this movie's gonna be interesting. I'm very curious to see how they're gonna transition stuff. Also, I do feel like it's gonna definitely tackle some shit. And which I'm just like, all right, you go, Greta.
Yeah. I still think Ryan Gosling is going to be the standout in this, though.
Oh.
Because his, even that little scene in the doctor's room where he's talking to the doctor and then he goes up to, like, his deliveries is just so funny. It's going to be hilarious.
I know, right? It's just like, well, I also want a cookie pen stuff,
Yeah.
and just, yeah, no, I 1000% agree with you, but like, oh, it's an entire fucking cast.
I know. It's insane.
This is still like a cast that just still bonkers me, by the way. Just so many people.
A
Just,
lot of people.
but yeah, no, Gosling, I think, is either gonna be the standout, and I just. It's just gonna be, this is gonna be a good time. Unfortunately, though, I will be at a wedding when this movie drops, so hopefully I can see it early.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, because otherwise I was gonna do the Oppenheimer Barbie thing. Start with Oppenheimer, end with
Yeah.
Barbie.
Yes.
Yeah, but sadly I can't do that because I will be in Iowa. So that's a whole thing. But yeah. Anyway, moving on to our next topic. According to THR, Thomas Kail, the Tony Award winning director of Broadway's Hamilton, has been tapped to direct Disney's live action take on the studio's 2016 anime musical sensation Moana, with the 2016 film's original writer Jared Bush painting the remake alongside Dana Leduc, Leduc, Leduc's, pardon me if I mispronounced the name, Leduc's Miller. So, you've seen the live action Hamilton, right? I've only seen bits and pieces of it.
The Disney Plus Hamilton?
Yes.
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So you have a bit more experience when it comes to this.
Well, it's interesting because the Disney Plus Hamilton is a filmed version of the stage performance. I do think that the director is very good though, because he did some really cool close-up shots. Because what I think they did is they brought back the original cast, and they did performances when there's nobody in the audience, so they could use the cameras to get close-ups and stuff for the performance. No, it's actually really good. Like, I think they did a good job with the stage production and everything, and with that, I'm still not convinced we need a live action Moana right now.
Same
That's
here.
more my issue with
Same
this whole
here.
thing.
Yeah. I really don't think we
But
do, but
I don't either.
I don't think anyone does.
No. I like it came out in 2016. It's not been that long,
Don't even get me started. This is just I.
so it's gonna be interesting. I think he'll be fine. He does a pretty good job. I can't really say anything because that's the only thing I think I've seen his work, and it is like a filmed performance, so it's a little bit different. It's not like an actual movie. But like the shots that he did good. Like it wasn't bad. And it is tricky to film a live action performance, especially that one where they have there's a lot happening in the background with the stage and stuff. So yeah, I would say that. 'Cause it wasn't like a it's like the actual stage performance. It's not like a filmed movie and everything.
Yeah, no, definitely. But yeah. Anyways, moving on to another somewhat unnecessary live action animation to live action adaptation. We got some more news on the How to Train Your Dragon live action adaptation, which according to the THR, Mason Thames, who starred in Universal's 2022 horror hit The Black Phone, and Nico Parker, the rising actress who was last seen in HBO's The Last of Us, she played Sarah, for those that don't remember, are set to star as Hiccup and Astra in Universal live action adaptation DreamWorks Animation's How to Train Your Dragon, with one half of the original film's writer and director, Dean DeBlase, writing, directing, and producing the feature. According to the article, the search for the live action counterparts took many months of looking for actors who could grow into the roles as much as the characters themselves grow in the maturity in the movie franchise. So, I can't remember if we covered this or not. Here's the thing. I also think this is very unnecessary. But the thing that's like putting that I'm willing to give a chance for is the fact that the boss is coming back. Like, if this was any other guy, then because he wrote and directed all three of the original films, or at least co-wrote.
Okay.
Yeah, or at least was part two, because he also kind of wrote it with Chris Sanders and stuff. So I'm willing to give it a chance because of him and the fact that he is writing, directing, producing. Now, as for the cast, I actually do like this cast. I thought Thames was great in On the Black Phone, and Parker, for that little bit in The Last of Us, she was excellent. So this is a really good cast, and I also like the fact that they're going actually young, because let's be honest, like as much as I love Jade Burchell and America Ferrera, they were in their late 20s playing teenagers.
Yeah, a little bit more age accurate. So that's definitely good.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see. I'm really curious if they, well, I'm really curious how much they're going to be able to change up.
Yeah, it's one of those movies that I feel like works better in animation because you have more freedom to do, and it's surrounding a dragon, so it's gonna be like up in the air stuff. And I know we have the technology to do that kind of stuff now, but it's just like, yeah, it's definitely gonna be interesting in that regard and how much they're gonna be able to do because there's gonna be some limitations with certain things, so.
No, definitely, definitely. But yeah, I'm but yeah, you're right about that and stuff. And we'll just have to see. All right, moving on to our next topic, or rather moving on to another, well, actually now we're moving on to the reverse. Back to a lot from live action now to animated, in a sense. We got a new trailer for a movie that I'm now pretty damn excited for. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: Mutant Mayhem. The synopsis reads: After years of being sheltered from the human world, the Turtle Brothers set to win the hearts of New Yorkers and be accepted as normal teenagers through heroic acts. Their new friend April O'Neil helps them take on a mysterious crime syndicate, but they soon get over their heads when an army of mutants is unleashed upon them. Directed by Mitchell vs. the Machines co-director Jeff Rowe and Kyle Spears, with Brian Dennehy's going in row, Seth Rogen, who's also serves as a producer, Evan Goldberg and Detective Pikachu scribes Dan Hernandez and Benji Cement. The film stars the voices of Rogen, Hannibal Burgess, Rose Byron, John Cena, Ice Cube, Post Malone, yes, that Post Malone, Paul Rudd, Maya Rudolph, Giancarlo Esposito as Bastard Stockman, Ayo Iriberi as April O'Neil, and Jackie Chan as Splinter, with Nicholas Cantu, the Mighty Ducks Game Changer star Brady Noon, Micah Abbey, and Shimon Brown Jr. as a titular Turtles, Leonardo, Raphael, Donatello, and Michelangelo, respectively. The film is set on August 2nd. Also, we also have some really cool news about this movie. Via Entertainment Weekly, while doing his podcast Through the Lens, legendary, this is really funny, but it's interesting. But legendary skateboard Tony Hawk, yes, that Tony Hawk, revealed that Nine Inch Nails frontman Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross will be composing the score for the upcoming animated film. With the director Rowe confirming the news on Twitter, saying, "Well, now that my teenage hero Tony Hawk has leaked the leaked that my music heroes are doing this, I can add that the score is absolutely amazing, exhilarating, terrifying, heartbreaking, full of sounds and I didn't know existed. I don't even have the vocabulary to describe it. I love it so much." This isn't the first score that they've done. They've done scores for a number of movies and TV shows. Most recently, last year, they did score for Impact Life and Bones and all, and won Academy Awards over it. So yeah,
Cool.
so I'm excited for this movie.
I think the animation looks cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just very, very Spider-Verse inspired, but also I just love just the griminess a little bit and stuff. Like, it feels like an indie comic.
Yeah, it does. I think it's very cool.
And also, I'm also just loving the fact that these are actually teenagers, similar to our last point. Like, it like when you kind of just the authenticity and stuff. And I noticed that, like, when like the last bit where they said, like, "Yeah, what the like it feels like something that fucking teenager would say and stuff. And I don't know. I love this cast. I love these voices and stuff. And I'm just starting to like fall in love with just these new iterations of the characters. Also, not Reznor and Ross doing the goddamn score. Look, as a Nine Inch Nails fan, this is like, yes.
Yeah.
But also, I'm like Seth Rogen. I'm also going like Seth Rogen, like, oh my God, Seth Rogen, you were a fucking teenager.
No, it's very cool. It's very cool.
No, I just, no, and like, I know they're, I know they're, they've been doing this for over a decade now, but it's just like they're literally like some, like, I'm a big Nine Inch Nails, like, both being a big Nine Inch Nails fan as well as a fan of their score. So they've also done the score for some, like The Social Network, for example, they did the score for that.
Oh, okay, cool.
So yeah, and but they're doing a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
That's pretty cool.
Like, I'm just like, oh my God, just. But yeah, no, I can't wait. I honestly can't wait for this movie. This movie looks honestly awesome and stuff, and just looks. It looks like it's gonna be a lot of fun.
That's cool.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on to actually our last topic of the day. Exclusive from the concert. Also, actually, hold up. All right. Anyway, moving on to actually our last topic of the day, but also one that is a rumor mill, so take it with a grain of salt. An exclusive from the concert Circus reveals some new details regarding Mephisto's role in the upcoming Disney Plus series Ironheart from Marvel Studios, starring Dominic Thorne as Riri Williams, aka Ironheart. According to the exclusive, Mephisto, who's rumored to be played by Sacha Baron Cohen, was in fact the mysterious benefactor that purchased the Avengers Tower from Tony Stark in Spider-Man Homecoming. Additionally, Tour Scoopers, Can We Get Some Toast revealed that the Hood, who, in case you guys forgot, is to be played by Anthony Ramos, is still attacked from Mephisto with another scoop, or My Time to Shine H, revealing that Mephisto, in his human form, owns a tech company. And speaking of that human form, the exclusive continues stating that Mephisto's persona in the upcoming Ironheart show will mainly be a humanoid, just an entire individual with his comics. Accurate demonic form only appearing in certain parts of the show, with the inspiration for the human form being from Fox and Netflix's Lucifer, sorry, Tom Ellis. So just imagine that, kind of.
Okay.
So yeah, no, I'm this honestly sounds really cool. And we've been kind of getting, and like, we finally have an answer to a very long question that we've been asking since at least Spider-Man Homecoming. Like, who owns the Avengers Tower now?
Yeah, that's true.
And it turns out it's the devil himself.
That's fun.
honestly, the show sounds really interesting. I'm really excited for the show.
No, yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah, just devil himself, just owning the building.
Yep. Makes sense.
I imagine what Tony Stark probably said. Well, actually, no, I don't mean, I imagine Tony was probably like, oh, look, I'm just gonna sell the building for selling whoever the highest bidder is.
Oh, yeah, probably.
He probably didn't. He probably had all the army of lawyers probably interacting with them on that.
More than likely.
But yeah, no, Tony Stark made a deal with the devil. So, which says a lot and stuff. So yeah. Anyways, moving on to recommendations. So we have been behind. These are the last three episodes of Ted Lasso, possibly ever. They're still, I honestly think this is the last season. Just from how everyone has kind of been talking, they said that they kind of needed a break and stuff, but I can see this being the last season and stuff. So we'll go episode by episode as we normally do. Episode
Okay.
nine, overall, I thought this was a lot funnier than expected. Granted, there's a whole thing between Colin and Isaac, but by the end, they're friends again, so yay. Speaking of that, I love Rory's speech in that episode. As for Nate and stuff, I'm so worried about him. But I think now that he's seen evil Giles cough, I mean Rupert for who he is, I think he'll turn. He'll come back to the light side. And overall, I really like this episode. Episode 10, Sam Richards' performance as Edmund Okudfo, it's just like he's just convincing. It's just this prick, soul and stuff. And just, it's really good. And I just want to commend him on that. And then all I love that like Rebecca's able to like see through the other owners, and they were like, and like, oh my God, you were fucking boys once.
Yeah.
Like, who do you think you are? And then Evil Giles, I mean Rupert, you insert curse word, insert British curse word here. So yeah. And then the penultimate episode, which is called Mom City. And I'm not gonna lie, it made me want to call my mom after like watching this episode.
Yeah.
Just yeah, I really like that we got to see a little bit of Jamie's home life besides his dad. And then also the scene between Beard and Nate is probably like one of my personal opinion. One of the series' best and stuff, and just yeah, that was a really good episode. And then I'm just then that leads us into episode 12, which overall I know there's been some debate on whether or not season three has been good or not. Personally, for me, I thought it was pretty good. Well, I don't think it's as great as the first two seasons, but hard humor and emotion still there, and I loved everyone's character arcs, and they kind of came full circle, and the ending is bittersweet but understandable, and just yeah, like once they started playing Father and Son by I think it's Cat Stevens, which was also used in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, and I'm just like, I immediately started going into tear mode. It's just like. He's going like I just like as much as I'm sad of him leaving London and stuff, it's for the best.
Yeah, like I'm conflicted on it. Like I get it, but I would have felt better if they would have won everything. Then I would have felt better. But because like they won that game, but I guess they didn't win everything. They came in second or whatever. I feel like there's unfinished business. That's my issue
So
with
you
it.
wanted them to win the whole entire damn thing.
Yeah, I would have felt better. But I think it's still good that they won. It's just, I don't know. It's just like, it makes sense. But then it feels like Ted is back to where he was at the beginning of the show, in a way. And then he's away from his new support group, but I don't know. I'm just kind of, like, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the finale a lot. And I like pretty, like, I like pretty much where everybody ended up. But I'm just, I don't know. Because I thought, like, he was gonna have that flash when he was having that vision or whatever, or dream on the plane, that he was gonna get off and go back. Because he realized he needed to stay in London. And, like, they could have worked something out better with his son, but, like, I get him needing to go back home. It's just, I don't know. I just feel conflicted.
I understand, and like I will say, I think at the end of the day that Ted is a dad, and he is that, and you could definitely see that he misses his kid.
No, and it's not that I don't get that, and I totally get why. I don't know. He did so well in London in that group, and he was doing so well for himself, and I felt like it was good for him in a regard. It feels weird that he's leaving that to go back to where he was not doing as well, like for him personally, but I don't know. It is what it is, you know? I mean, it was nice. It's just interesting.
You know,
So.
it the way how yeah, though, I yeah. I think the way how I kind of see it, it's kind of like, you
Like,
know
he
how
wasn't even at Beard's wedding. Like, he wasn't even at Beard's wedding. Like, that's weird to me. Like, that's his best friend. Like, even if you're there, why weren't you at the wedding? Like, you didn't fly out for the wedding.
Yeah, okay. The thing is with that, and unfortunately, like in the
And I
infamous.
know it's probably because of COVID and probably other stuff, like outside stuff affecting it or whatnot. But it's just like that kind of stuff. That's why I get conflicted. I'm like, that doesn't make sense. Even if Ted wasn't in the same area, he would try to make time to go and be at one of his best friend's wedding.
The way how that scene is shot, personally, I feel like that was a dream sequence.
Oh yeah, I know. I understand it was a dream sequence, but like, why wasn't he? I don't know. I think that's what confused me. They needed to make that more clear. That was like a dream sequence, and if him leaving was ensuring that everybody else was doing good, because everybody else was still in their group. It's just he was gone. So it's just weird.
You know, I realistically like I think he come to a point where it'd be like, my work here is done. I can go to
But
next.
see, they didn't win the whole thing. Like, when you go to coach, regardless, your goal is to win the whole thing.
That's a fair point. That's a fair
That's
point.
my issue. Like, if he would have won the whole thing and then him going home, okay. He did complete everything. He can go home now. But he didn't. They only got to a certain point. So I think that's where I needed them to win the whole thing, and I would have felt better about him leaving. But I mean, it's fair. I mean, I understand why he left. He left for his kid, and that's good. I don't know. I think I would have felt a lot better if he would have won the whole thing.
That's fair. That's fair. That's fair. But
That's
yeah.
my main criticism is I, because I thought that game was him winning the whole thing, but then they had the whole conversation, the whole scene right after the game, where I guess that was to get into the next league or whatever. And so it's also partly because like I don't understand like soccer and football rules.
I don't think us Americans do
So
either.
like I'm confused because I thought that was for the championship and I or like whatever, but I guess it wasn't. So that's why I'm like confused. Like, how is his work done? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah,
And I think they need to make that a little bit clearer. Or like, this is a good point for him to leave. Like,
that's a fair statement.
yeah.
Although
Though
I
I did enjoy the season a lot. It just, I don't know. I just like I didn't feel like he was done. I think that's my issue.
No.
In a way, even though everybody else around him is good, I don't know. It is what it is.
It's what it is, but But I will say this. So I have a statement from my Lasso Watch live event that I did. So when the show was airing and stuff, I would normally I would live tweet the episodes on Twitter and stuff, my reaction to Twitter, and this is the statement from it. I also put this on Twitter, it's just a separate thing, but I started the show before the second season, and not only did this become my comfort show, but also my therapy, especially given that I relate very deeply to Ten and his personality and stuff. So there's that. So again, I just want to say thank you to the creators, Bill Lawrence, Jason Jacobs, Brendan Hunt, Joe Kelly, and all the cast and crew. You guys made a hilarious, amazing, hilarious, and emotional show, and I can't wait to see what everyone does next.
Yeah. No, it was very good. And I'm not as mad as some people are about the finale. And that's more because Keeley and Roy never officially got back together. There's like a lot of like unfinished stuff that we didn't really get. And that's partly because this probably wasn't planned to be a season finale, a series finale. And they probably thought they were going to have one more season. And maybe they will, but it feels like it's not going to happen with the posts that the actors are posting out.
I also think that just probably and I don't want to say this because I don't want to connect like Jason Zick's real life with the show. I know there are several like serious parallels. But I could easily understand Jason meaning not like when he has kids and stuff, he doesn't want to be in London for like 3 or 6 months.
I mean, that's true too. I understand. It's just, yeah, I don't know. I think it's just weird because, like, I think if we would have went into this season knowing it was the last season, maybe it would have been different. I have a different perspective. But because we're kind of been in that loophole until kind of later in the season, well, kind of then now this definitely kind of felt more like a series finale. Like, could be a season and it could be a series finale kind of thing.
Then again, also the way how I kind of see this is like it's like Return of the Jedi. It's an ending, but it also could be there also could be a continuation. But that's how I kind of it's weird that I kind of see this in like Star Wars parallels.
No, I mean, a lot of it was good though. Like, I'm not trying to be too much of a downer. It's just me nitpicking a little bit, but I don't know. And I know that COVID probably messed up a lot of their plans for this and stuff, so I don't really blame them too much about it. But I think it's just I wish things were a little bit clearer, so that way I could understand more of like, I don't know. Wish they would have spent more time talking about the rules of football a little bit so I could understand it a little bit better. Like, not like a lot, but just like a little bit. Maybe have like a scene where there's like clear set of rules. This is the rules. This is it. This is what we're following.
That's
Kind
fair.
of. Or like explain like the leak better a little bit.
That's fair. That's
Yeah.
fair.
But that's just me nitpicking. But it was good though. I'm not as. There's some people who I know are upset that Roy and Keeley didn't officially get back together, or that Ted and Rebecca didn't end up together because people thought that was happening. I did too. I'm not gonna lie. When she appeared at the airport, I thought that's maybe what was happening for some weird reason. But no, which I do think that is good though, because we do need to see relationships that are friends between people because we don't get that as much.
We really
anymore.
don't. We really don't. That's the reason why I was never like a Ted Rebecca shipper. Plus, he's dealing with some shit.
And that's also why I feel weird about, I know he's mainly going back for Henry. That's also why I'm like kind of hesitant, like him being closer to that whole Michelle and the doctor relationship. I'm
I
like,
think that
that's,
doctor is done. Which, by the way, fuck Dr. Jacob. I'm sorry. Just.
That's why I'm also like, that's probably not healthy for him, but it's like one of those complicated situations. So.
Yeah, but I trust that Ted has learned his lesson, learned what he needed to learn.
Absolutely.
It's kind of like full. It's the what's it called in the fucking hero's journey, the return home or some or among the lines of that, where like the hero kind of goes on a quest and then returns home with the knowledge. It's like Lord of the Rings, where like they return home. So that's how I kind of see all those and stuff. One big
That's
long
good.
hero's journey. Yeah. Anyways, moving on to something I got to see the other day and will be seeing again, at least at the time of this recording, this afternoon. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse! And it was incredible. Directors Joaquin Dos Santos, Ken Powers, and Justin K. Thomas, alongside Lord Miller and Shang-Chi scribe David Callahan, dropped in an epic and intense tale that not only expands on the first film, but goes beyond on it, elevating the story and the characters into new heights and directions. Additionally, the animation was spectacularly breathtaking, with every frame being a freaking majestic painting. Like, seriously, like, I would love to buy these animators a drink, because, like, holy fucking shit, the animation was beautiful. Just, and finally, the entire cast is great. Some of the standouts include Hailee Steinfeld and Shailene Moore. They did some great work on this, and overall, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse was an incredible extension of the first film, filled with this amazing performances from its cast and some breathtaking animation. Definitely see this as soon as you can. Also, I do plan on having a full-blown review on this over at geeksandpopcorn.com, so do check out that site, as well as check out the site for that. And yeah, Jimmy, do you have any other recommendations before we close out?
Not that good to go.
All right, well, that does it for our show this week.
So feel free to follow us on all our social media platforms. We're on Twitter and TikTok at Convo with Two Geeks. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at Conversation with Two Geeks. And if you want to send us an email of anything with this episode or one of our previous episodes, we're at Conversation with Two Geeks at gmail.com.
Also, make sure to check out our Patreon, where if you're a $3 tier, you get early access to episodes. If you're a $5 tier, you get access to our special episodes. And then you get early access episodes, but also access to our special episodes. We have a special episode on 2018's Into the Spider-Verse, so make sure to check that out. And then if you're a $10 patron, you get a Polish, you get not only early access episodes, access to special episodes, but you also get to be on a poll, to get a you also get a poll to choose which movies Jamie or Gus and I will watch for the next month's special episode. And finally, for our $15 patrons, you not only get early access episodes, just the special episodes, the poll, also access to an off-air episode where Jamie and I will talk about everything that has happened this month, which will be titled Super Friends. So check all the tiers out on Patreon. We really like your support and stuff. And yeah.
Sounds good.
Anyways, take care, everyone. See you next time.
Bye, guys. Bye.
Bye.